All right, welcome to the SGAC Youth Podcast. I'm Pastor Josh, and I am also here with some other people here today. I have Carla.
Hey.
Chad.
Hello.
And Alex.
Hello.
And so, welcome back. We're going to be talking about the meaning of life today.
Episode 3.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It's going to be very interesting. As you may well already be anticipating.
I feel like that's setting the bar high.
Yeah. The meaning of life is a deep question that gets asked by many people around the world. It's one of the highest searched Google search, you know, in the engine, I think.
Things, yeah.
Yes. What is the meaning of life?
Things.
And so if you're looking for the meaning of life in Google, it's too late. We're going to talk about it right now.
Don't Google it yet.
Yeah, because it's boring. Maybe a better question instead of the, you know, what is the meaning of life, you know, is why are we here? Planet Earth in the middle of black space surrounding, you know, going around a sun, right? Why are we here? It's kind of a weird place to be. And so, Alex, how about you just give us maybe kind of like a non-Christian perspective first before we, you know, go further.
Well, I think in the secular culture, probably the definition of why we're here is by accident. We crawled out of the primordial ooze and sort of just ended up here. And so I think for most people, they find they have a tendency to want to derive meaning or create meaning for themselves. And they do that in different avenues. Like you'll hear different terms thrown about. Probably one of the most familiar ones is humanist. So some people derive meaning by being kind to humanity.
Whether they deserve it or not, right?
Yeah, whether they deserve it or not. other people find meaning in different ways. Money is a big one in our culture. How much money can I make? Because once I make money, then I'm going to be happy. But I guess that would be the ultimate. And then would be the search for constant happiness, right? It's just, how can I make myself happy? Because what's that term? YOLO, you only live once.
Yeah.
Right? You only live once, so do it now, or otherwise you're never going to get the chance again. And so that, I think that's how the secular culture would view the meaning of life.
Yeah. Because I think one of the things that I'm finding more and more is that youth and young adults are working through what is their meaning? Why are they here? What are they supposed to be doing?
Yeah.
And so a lot of the time, especially if they're in like a public school, all of their friends are going to be doing that YOLO type of lifestyle, mm-hmm. right? I'm living, you know, once I'm going to be living for myself. I'm going to do everything that I possibly can. And yet it feels like we just see a ton of depression, anxiety, frustration in youth,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it seems like it's not working, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, right? But
is it also a matter of fear, right? Like, you only live once, so you don't want to screw it up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, what are people going to remember you for? And that's, I think.
Yeah. And and so I'm going to pass this over to Chad quickly. Like, what do you see, you know, people doing as they try and understand it through this lens?
Well, I think a lot of people are generally selfish in this aspect, right? It's all about them. It's all about their happiness, right? Their,
mm-hmm. yeah.
So their drive is very self-centered, and they're seeking that happiness. They're just, you know, whatever works for them.
It's constant too. It's constant happiness. It's not just like on the weekend I'm happy, but you go to work to make lots of money because then you're going to be happy.
Yeah. If I'm not happy in my job, I got to now change jobs.
Yeah.
If you know, my friends aren't making me happy, I need new friends, you know, everything, right? I mean, if your marriage isn't going well, you're not happy in your marriage, what has generally happened, right? People don't stick it through, so.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't like the dog. It's all like happy, happy, like a movie too.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about number one.
Number one.
I haven't seen number two.
Yeah.
Everything is awesome.
Yeah. Yes.
Number one. You know, and how everybody's just trying to live for the best day ever.
Craggle?
Yeah. Is that the it? Craggle. But so, Carla, help us understand maybe kind of the Christian perspective. You know, what is the purpose of why we're here from, you know, from God? Let's hear it
well,
from
it's,
God.
It, the answer is from God, right?
Right.
I feel like we should be cueing the angel music right now as I give you a message from God. But please don't quote it as scripture
here. Yeah, I can't hit those high notes.
It's just when I do quote scripture. But the main purpose that the Bible talks about is that we are created to glorify God and enjoy Him. Hmm. And that's really, like they call it, catechism, it, even in many churches, is that we're here to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Glorify Him means just making Him look good, like showing Him as He is. Hmm. And that's how we are. We were made in His image. And when we are truly and fully looking like what He created us to be in our full, beautiful, kind, you know, all of those qualities that He wants in us, then we're showing what God is like. And that is our purpose. It's not what we do so much as who we are.
Yeah, I think that's always something that's really struck me, is we are made in the image of God, like His image, not, you know, some rock, right? We are made in the image of Him. And I think that's, I don't know, it's very interesting. You don't think of that when you look in the mirror, typically. You think, yeah, that can change a little bit, right, or something. But no, we are created in a specific way that wasn't meant to be added to, you know, and it glorifies Him.
At the same time, it's not like, you know, the cartoon where the dog is looking at their master and like, you're so beautiful just the way you are.
Yeah.
We're so beautiful in the way that God intends us to be, mm-hmm. not necessarily how we are right now.
Right.
So this purpose in change, like we need to change, but we also have things to do.
Mm.
Yeah.
Being shaped more into the image of Christ, right? That's something that we hear about all the time. And and so purpose, you know, that's what why are we here? We are made in the image of God. We are made to glorify Him through our lives. And I think that's something that can be a little intimidating and feels ambiguous. Would you guys agree?
Yeah, certainly it can.
Awkward silence.
Yeah, I know. Everyone's like, yes.
I'm just going to chime in.
So I think one thing that I think might be helpful is if we all talk about, you know, where we have found meaning and purpose in our lives, and how God has led us, and how we have come to where we are. 'Cause I think, you know, a lot of the time, everybody has a different story, right? I don't think I've ever heard of somebody that's had the same story as me. And so God leads us, and, you know, we have our own purpose, right? He created us to do good works before, you know, the world began, and that's something that is hard to understand. And so we all are meant for different things, right? So let's just start. Who wants to go first? Anybody gonna... We didn't decide beforehand, but somebody... You know.
I'm number one.
Okay, so Carla's gonna go first.
I should have thought through this before I volunteered.
Okay. Yeah, tell us, you know, a little bit.
Okay. I guess in a lot of my life, I've discovered that while I'm waiting for things to happen, because there's a lot of life is waiting for mm-hmm. God. Like you're just living every day to find satisfaction in the everyday things. Knowing that in the small things is where I'm actually being changed. It's like a river running through my life. Mm. And slowly it's eroding down the stuff that is not so great and shaping it into something that's really good. And so it's only after you've lived for a while, though, that you can look back and see that that has happened in the quiet times. And I'm not a person who loves quiet times. I love to be out there doing stuff and exploring the world. And that doesn't always happen. Sometimes God actually stops you and makes you stay in one place, sometimes for years. And that is not fun at all. I guess another thing that I look at when I think of how God has given me purpose is He's also used things about me that I don't love to accomplish good things. For example, I am, and this is no surprise to anybody who knows me, not the most coordinated person in the world. athletically, in fact, one of the biggest things that has happened in my life is that I was crossing a street I fell down and I ended up losing a kidney, literally falling down crossing a street. It's a long story, but what I'll say
is...
It's
not even a good story.
It's not even a good
story. Lame.
It's lame. Like, it's not even like, I was jumping out of an airplane, which I've done.
While rescuing a kid.
And gotten hurt.
While
like, it's not even a fantastic story. Well, it is. The big story is very interesting, but what happened was that through that experience and through the reactions of people around me, God actually ended up having, like, hundreds of people come to know him and to follow him. And it was nothing to do with me, and it was nothing to do with me at any point other than that I tripped and fell. And I had no fingers in any other part of it. So, yeah, like, God has purpose for our lives, and sometimes we don't even get to have any credit for anything, right?
Yeah.
That's often the case.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
That's all I've got right now.
Okay, cool.
I should not have gone first. I should have thought through it more.
No, that's fine. Yeah. I think all of us are in the
You're
same
number
boat.
You're number one.
So, yeah. Okay, so...
number four.
Yeah. Chad's like, I will claim number four. So anybody...
I can either, go, yeah.
Okay, Alex is... So Alex, same thing. You know, how have you found meaning in your life? Why are you where you are right now?
Yeah, so similar to Carla, I would love... I have lots of big ideas. Unfortunately... They require things like people to say yes. and so sometimes God just works in the quiet in my life, and oftentimes in the quiet. But a lot like Carla too, although she didn't mention it, I find meaning by giving my time to God. And sometimes it's in ways that I love, like I love teaching youth. And sometimes it's in ways that I'm like, I don't love this, but I find myself wanting to be tired for God. I want to work hard for God. I want to go to bed at night and know that I have accomplished things. And not because that makes me so great, but because I find tiredness to be really humbling. Like, it is just this thing that God gives me every single night. Like, you worked really hard. You got next to nothing done. And you're tired. And you know why? It's because you're not me. It's because I don't get tired. I'm not like you. And so I find the pursuit of just working really hard for God is how I derive meaning. And so sometimes it's with my family. I volunteer a lot. And I do things like youth and Awana. And so those are ways that I try to work really hard for God. And so that's kind of, yeah, that's how I derive my meaning. It's just by being obedient.
Obedient. Love that. Yeah.
Well, that's an easy one.
So some days, I'm sure not everyone's feeling that vibe, but... So, Chad, are you ready?
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Okay, we'll slide
number
into
three.
Number three now.
Same thing. You know, where have you found meaning in your life, and how, why are you where you are right now?
I think, well, where I am right now, I find a lot of meaning in being that kind of servant heart for God. Mm. So, kind of similar to Alex in how just... doing everything that I do, whether it's in work or youth or other ministries in the church, I do it as well as I can for God. Mm-hmm. And I think just that alone just gives you the passion to work through. Mm-hmm. And I think God gives you, if God gives you a skill in a certain area, right, or something you're passionate about, you can do that really well for God. And I found that in some days, let's say work, for example, there are times where it's, okay, you know, I might not necessarily like my job or like the people I'm always interacting with. Mm-hmm. However, at the end of the day or...
They're not listening, though.
No, I know. Yeah, you got to be careful what you say. But in that same circumstance, though, is like I'm there, I'm doing my job, and I'm also representing Christ. So I need to do everything I can well for Christ, right? Mm. Because he's put me there. He has given me the passion for what I do, and I'm going to do it as well as I can.
Mm. Cool.
And yeah, and I get satisfaction out of it because, yeah, I feel like I'm not I used to have a lot of that self-centered kind of, it was all about me. Mm. And by giving my all to those around me, mm. I find that in the end, that it's like God rewards me a little bit by, hey, look at how you were able to kind of fit in as that little, that maybe the little key piece in that big picture, and that gives me that that hope and that, sense of I'm accomplishing something, which is cool.
Yeah. Well, I'll finish with me. Where have I found, meaning? Why am I here? I think, as you guys are all talking, you're still trying to narrow it down, right? But one thing that I think it always usually came down to was hope and love. I found that I would try and find meaning when I was younger outside of those things, in just satisfaction or happiness or popularity or whatever, and I found absolutely no satisfaction in that. And I always just would question, there is no point if there is no hope. And so I found that drove me was my hope that everything that God says is true. And it became something that I had to have. It was like the foundation of why I continue to follow God was because of this hope that he is all that he says he is. And because outside of that, I just found there was no purpose. There was no desire for me to live outside of anything where there is no hope. And I found that outside of that, there was not a lot of love. Just a lot of, I like you, you're kind of cool. And then the next day, oh, you know what, I don't, I'm not feeling you right now. I think I'd rather be with this person over here. And that just frustrates me. Like, it just drove me nuts. And even within, like, the Christian community, I think sometimes we can treat each other that way. And that frustrated me as well. But to me, it was always that it's, no, I love you, right? I will give you the benefit of the doubt, because that's how God does it for me, right? And so that's kind of why I'm here. I didn't want to be in ministry either, but that's a long story. Originally, that's something that I had to come through later. But I think the reason why I'm here probably is primarily because, hope is something that is, It's what I want, right? I want everything that he says. And, so I hope...
There you go. Great transition.
Hope. Yeah, seriously. There you go. Yeah, I hope that you guys have gotten something out of this. Any of you guys have anything to add? Just to finish, that you guys were like, man, we should have said that.
Oh, there's hundreds of things that we should have said more, but,
Not now.
Yeah.
It's okay. So, I hope, like I said, I hope you guys got something out of this, and anyway, we will see you guys
in... Youth Retreat.
Yes, if you're not going to Youth Retreat, it's probably too late, because this will come out probably around Youth Retreat time, maybe, but anyway.
Maybe.
We will see you guys in the next podcast, which we're about to do in like a second, so...
Because we're prepared.
Yeah.
Yes.
See you guys.
Super prepared.